Talk about what Forescout does for the federal government in a kind of a thumbnail sketch for me.
Sure. Well, Forescout Technologies, we're a network security vendor. We've been selling across commercial markets and to government entities, both civilian and defense, for more than 10 years. Some of our government customers and partners are well-known, such as the Air Force or Northrop Grumman. And you can understand we have certain restrictions on who we can name by name. We certainly have others. And what we offer is an automated security control platform. It's actually called Counteract. And it provides network access control. It provides mobile security, which is certainly part of the topic today, endpoint compliance, and threat management. And so it really fits into a layered defense approach that most government folks are using today.
Are you experiencing the same kinds of demands and questions and so on from your government customers that you are from your commercial customers?
We definitely are. I think there is a difference. One, there are certain mandates that are FISMA and defense mandates that are unique versus commercial markets. But everybody's focusing on trying to do more with less, trying to get better situational awareness and understanding of their infrastructure and what's going on, and really better defenses. So I think it's similar, except there's a bit more mandates, and certainly scale is radically different working with government entities versus many commercial sites.
I wonder, too, if the threats that you're being asked about to help these agencies and organizations defend against are similar, too.
In some respects, they're similar, but in many respects, the government certainly is a target, and one of the latest areas is something called advanced persistent threats.
And talk about that, because you're certainly not the first person that's brought that up.
So, yeah, it's while it's a new term, it seems to be very broadly used. Basically, it's really describes an attack that uses a blended approach to try to penetrate network resources with the intent to disable resources, impact the operational integrity of a resource, or try to get some information out from that resource. So I can give you an example, like perhaps a government employee is duped into providing some information that yields some access to a resource. And it may be possible to examine that resource and even potentially neighboring resources to identify potential vulnerabilities that could be exploited. So then they would use a combination of very distracting attacks, phased attacks, you know, attacks that occur at different points in time, and even custom attack methods to really exploit the vulnerability. And it doesn't really happen immediately. Certainly you don't want to, if you sound off an alarm, everybody's very aware of it. But it varies off over time, and it's also blended. So sometimes they're also called low and slow attacks. So they're very discrete actions that are being executed, again, with the attempt to fly below the radar of defenses.
You mentioned that the term advanced persistent threats is a relatively new term. Is that indicative of the fact that this type or this level of sophistication or complexity of this threat is also new, or is it just that we're getting better at determining what it is that adversaries are trying to do and then also getting better at being able to name it and then try to do something about it?
That's an excellent question. And so these types of attacks are definitely not trivial. They're very sophisticated, and they're typically very targeted. And so really the only way to defend against these type of attacks is really a layered defense model, employing a combination by, say, segregating network resources, applying multiple security countermeasures, enforcing policies, and also attempting to correlate or analyze data from different monitoring vantage points, really to identify APTs. And agencies do certainly have some degree of situational awareness in terms of having a single pane of glass into their network operations. The real difficulty remains how to quickly cross-correlate, you know, the access, network, and operational data. And this is across users, systems, network applications. And the big challenge with APTs is really not just to be aware of them, but be able to respond quickly and accurately. So you need to really have certainty that the threat is real, and more importantly, the means to quickly isolate the threat without disrupting anything, without disrupting operations. Hmm. That's the challenge.
Yeah. Are we getting better at being able to quantify these challenges and qualify them and know exactly what's hitting us, or are we still in a kind of state where we're having to figure these out as we go along and in some cases guess at some of the potential threats?
I think because, again, in government operations, there's a certain degree of lockdown and challenge. And they have spent quite a good sum to have different vantage points of monitoring. So when things look astray, they look awkward, they look like anomalies, there are some automated tools to look and take a deeper inspection. The difficulty is how do you bring that all together, and then how do you quickly respond? So you can say, yes, we have pretty good confidence this is going on, but unfortunately, if you wait too long, to some respect, the damage or the potential risk is already there and imminent.
I want to come back to that in a little bit, and also want to talk to you a little bit about some of the technological challenges that keeping network secure mobile devices are presenting to network security when we continue our conversation. Scott Gordon of Forescout is my guest on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We'll be back to continue our conversation in just a moment.
For over 40 years, Mantech employees have been solving complex problems for the national security community. Whether they're providing secure satellite communications to the Department of Defense or investigating threats in cyberspace for intelligence agencies, their work is distinguished by high ethical standards and a deep commitment to their customers' success. They've created a culture that encourages individuals to bring innovative ideas and technology to those charged with protecting the homeland. Due to the high demand for Mantech skills and expertise, they have tremendous career opportunities for cleared, highly skilled IT professionals. Security experts, intelligence analysts, engineers, and technicians. In 2010, Mantech was selected for Fortune Magazine's 100 Fastest Growing Companies list, named a top 10 best employer for veterans by Military Times Edge Magazine, and for the fourth year in a row was selected as a top 10 military-friendly employer by GI Jobs Magazine. Apply for openings today at mantech.com/careers. That's mantech.com/careers. Mantech is an equal opportunity employer.
Why should you take krill oil and omega-3 fish oil? Well, if you are concerned about any of the following, you should absolutely be taking both. And if you qualify, we'll even give you a risk-free trial of a pharmaceutical-grade fish oil combined with the super antioxidant power of krill. But first, you have to answer yes to one of the following. Are you concerned about your joint health? What about your memory and focus? Are you concerned about your heart health? Well, if you want to increase your joint comfort by 28% in just 7 days and promote memory, focus, and heart health, we're going to give you a free bottle of Krill Omega-3 Fish Oil. Just call this toll-free number and claim yours. 1-800-900-6118. We guarantee once you try Krill Omega-3, you won't believe the difference. That's why we're going to send you a free bottle just for calling. Call now for your free bottle and start easing sore joints today. Call 1-800-900-6118. 1-800-900-6118. 1-800-900-6118.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services Term Life Agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is all about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. We'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a man, 40 years old, who takes blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price, $21 a month.
Call 1-800-500-0351 and see how affordable term life insurance can be. That's 1-800-500-0351. 1-800-500-0351. Or go to selectquote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Tom Temin here with a preview of tomorrow's Federal Drive. Budget cuts for the Defense Department can fall hard on contractors. We'll talk to one major contractor with how it's coping and what advice its managers have for other contractors. Plus, we'll hear from an expert in decision-making and how the next generation of decision-making strategies will change the government. Those stories and more tomorrow morning starting at 6 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And for all the latest federal news, be sure to visit federalnewsradio.com.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Scott Gordon of Forescout, and Forescout provides mobile solutions, mobile security solutions, among other services. And Scott, one of the things that one of the kind of the landmark events has happened here in the last couple of days, and that is the Army announcing that it is choosing Android as the platform of choice to power its first smartphone. We have details about that at federalnewsradio.com. The whole idea, though, of using an open source platform on mobile computing that will be done by people as sensitive, who do things as sensitive as those who, people in the military, makes some security people perhaps a little uneasy. What are some of the basics of mobile computing security that you're seeing agencies maybe still struggling with a little bit?
That's a good question. When it comes to smartphones and wireless security, you have to imagine that access to networks is no longer tethered. So agencies are looking to control all access to the network, and really when it comes to mobile security, the government is very concerned with regard to smartphones, iPads, certainly rogue wireless access points, and very much so mobile applications in terms of data leakage risks. So my background or my understanding is that the DoD and intelligence today doesn't allow classified material really to be viewed on smartphones. And they do even have restrictions on where calls can be made. So in order to be FISMA compliant, and they're the ones that set the guidelines and standards, even civilian agencies have to develop policies based on their assessment of the smartphone vulnerabilities. So right now the government does issue BlackBerries, which can support calls and transmissions of classified data. And they have a whole bunch of capabilities, remote wipe, email retention, certainly encryption controls, and lockdown of applications. My understanding with the Google Android OS, and certainly that is what was announced, was that they were really looking to develop a mobile and handheld computing environment. So they're right now in the assessment stage, and they're assessing an environment that they feel comfortable with that they can then share with others. And like you said, being open source, it does present some risk, but many people in the security industry have taken, for example, public domain operating systems, have locked them down and made enough deviation along with ancillary tests to really have a level of comfort and security versus what would be just generally in standard. So my understanding is what they announced is not necessarily, hey, it's a free ride to use Android while you're in combat on the field, but they're making steps to take advantage of that technology and really develop a mobile and handheld computing environment.
That's the transition that every agency and every commercial organization has been going through, I guess, over the last 3 to 4 years, is that the mobile phone, the smartphone, isn't really so much a phone anymore as it is an extension of the network. The numbers on the amount of data as opposed to the amount of voice that's being carried is really transformational over the last, especially the last year or two.
That's correct. It's really phenomenal. And when they think about the data, unless you can absolutely segregate your personal persona from a more government-oriented persona, and you have security enabled to do so, which is the reason why certain agencies say, well, you can only use these phones in this condition, in this environment.
Mm-hmm.
There is a risk that some personal data, in terms of geolocation, in terms of identity, could potentially be shared unknowingly by the end user, even that if that end user is a government, if they haven't properly secured their environment. In fact, there were recent discoveries. They did an assessment. I believe this was also in another publication. They did an assessment that found that many of these applications didn't even publish a personal privacy policy, which in some areas are a legal requirement. So in some respects, it's a wild, wild west, but there certainly are provisions and means to lock down phones, which is, I think, what the government is trying to do, is move towards a more open environment to get smartphones in the hands of people that really need them for a variety of reasons.
As I was thinking about this, the move that the Army announced, Tell me if I have this right. The parallel that I thought of was, if I get, I have a Droid from Verizon, a Motorola Droid. But the version of Android, the operating system that's on my phone, is slightly different than something that maybe another provider would offer on the piece of hardware, or maybe even a piece of hardware from a different vendor on the same service provider that I use. Android would look a little different even if it's the same version. Now, they've come under some criticism for that, but is what the Army is looking at doing similar to that, in that there'll be, instead of a brand X version of Android or a brand Y version, there'll be an Army version of it? Is that an accurate parallel?
That is an accurate parallel. That's the whole computing environment that they're trying to develop, and I'm sure it'll go under some very serious scrutiny and external testing.
But the idea is the same there.
That's right.
And that, I guess, would be something that would be quite a bonus for an agency that's going to be able to look at an operating system and say, we can make this as secure as we think it needs to be in order to achieve whatever security goals we decide that we have to have on top of whatever's mandated.
That's right. And even today, some civilian agencies require government-issued phones, while others don't restrict smartphone usage at all. But they're issuing specific guidelines, such as removing data storage capabilities and other basic information to their users, because half of security, a good amount of security, is really about education and trying to convey best practices to have mobile security basics in hand.
It seems to me one of the basics of having a secure network is understanding exactly what's going on that network. How are agencies doing when it comes to just the awareness piece of what we've talked about that transformational shift between from primarily voice data, primarily voice to primarily data over the networks, mobile devices?
Well, you know, it comes down to what they're looking at is things such as continuous monitoring of endpoint compliance. So gaining visibility and keeping track of all the devices that are on or connected to a government network, not only identifying the devices that are on, but really identifying those that are not compliant with guidelines, and also addressing potential vulnerabilities.
All right. There is a lot more to cover here, and I wish I had time to go into it, Scott, but I appreciate you sharing some of the ideas here with me so that we can at least think about these issues. And this idea of securing these mobile networks will only explode, it seems to me, over the next couple of years. Final thought, what else that we haven't talked about should people at agencies be thinking about in the next 6 to 12, maybe even 18 months when it comes to mobile computing?
Well, I think the first thing is really to make sure that their end users, whether it's a civilian agency or other aspects where they can use these phones, is to look at the mobile security phone basics. Make sure your phone's set up with a password and change the root password. Don't go phishing or following links from email, similar to what you would do on a regular computer, same thing. Don't allow the browser to remember access credentials to cache your passwords. If encryption is available, which I know it is on the BlackBerry, make sure you enable it, both memory and content. Know about your wireless access point. Don't assume that because it says a major location that actually is provided by that location. Don't have Bluetooth. If you're not pairing your device with a Bluetooth, don't do it. A couple other things. Verify the privacy policy of any applications you have there. Update your phone regularly. Make sure that if you need remote wiping or locking, that you have that. And then even basics of providing a means to contact you if you lose the phone. So we ForeScout have a solution that we've enabled to allow the monitoring of any device going onto the network in a very, very automated and unobtrusive way, and that also includes mobile security, and that's, again, where we're seeing a big drive for our business. People want to get that immediate visibility and control. And when it comes to mobile security and mobile devices, you also have to keep in mind that in some cases these guests, it's their personal phone. So you really need to have an automated, yet politically correct way of going about to track all these potential new devices hitting your network.
Scott Gordon of ForeScout, thanks for being on the program today. Nice to talk to you.
Thanks for having me, Francis.